Welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners across the country where the program's broadcast, particularly the local traditional owners, the Jagera, Yagera, Turrbal and Yugrupul peoples, the Yugambeh, Mananjali, Kombamiri, Noonuckle, Quandamooka peoples. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the first peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners, tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Well, we've still got some good rain about, although today we woke up to blue sky and sunshine and now it's all overcast. But that's all right. Let's Talk is an outside broadcast. We're broadcasting from the car park of the Entertainment Centre at Logan City. We're actually in Woodridge, and I like the way they call it Logan. But Logan City Entertainment Centre, off Wembley Road and Jacaranda Ave, just down from that intersection. We're out in the car park. The reason we're here is because there is a summit that's been convened, organised by the Premier, Campbell Newman, and the Logan Mayor, Lord Mayor Pam Parker. And this summit is to assist, to pull communities together, communities, First Nations, various Pacific Island, and others, mainstream, settler society, dominant culture, whitefella community, to sit down, talk, and try to work out what some of the issues are, what some of the challenges are. And there's going to be a number of guests joining me today, First Nations people that have got lots to say. But in the lead up to this summit, it started yesterday, and in the lead up to the summit, there's been a feeling in the First Nations community about a feeling of, I suppose, like being forgotten about, not seen to be a very high priority to be inclusive or be included and to be involved in the discussion. But to tell us what is happening in the community, we've got local community people. To begin with, Paul Butterworth joins me. Paul, welcome to Let's Talk. How are you today?
Yeah, not bad, Tiger, thank you. Yourself?
Well, good to be out here. And your community, in your area?
Hey, it is good to be out here.
Tell us your mob, your country.
First of all, my name's Paul Butterworth. I'm from Birriggubba country up central Queensland way. I'm Wiri man. And my mother's also comes from up that way. She comes from Janga country, Juru country, which is also situated around the same area, all Birriggubba people.
Very good, mate. Now, you've been into the studio a month or so back. We were talking about the situation where from 16 Douglas Street, where Timmy Briggs and his family were staying, living. And there was an incident down there with the Tongan family up the road. That flared up into a fairly big issue. Lots of police, lots of media, lots of First Nations people and Pacific Islanders and stuff. You've been there talking about that. This is a month or so down the track, six weeks on, and this summit has been called by the Premier and by the Lord Mayor of Logan, Pam Parker. You attended yesterday, the summit?
Yes, I did.
Was there good attendance?
There was a good attendance. I mean, they've had all different organisations and stuff in there, and basically going on about the employment, education, housing, safety and stuff like that. I think our main issue at the end of the day is the safety. At the end of the day, all the other issues, I think that what they talk about here in Logan is it's a national issue. Yeah. It's a state issue. It's not just a Logan issue. You know, but the unemployment, housing and everything, that's an issue that's... We can't solve the issues of the world, basically, here in Logan. What we've got to deal with here in Logan is the issues at hand.
Some of those issues, or one of the key issues, from my observations, and I'm at arm's length, I'm looking at media, talking to people like yourself and seeing things, and got family out here as well. It appears to me, Paul, one of the issues is that issue right across the country, and it's lack of awareness, it's lack of understanding, and it's lack of respect for First Nations people. The fact that we are the first people of the planet and everybody else outside of First Nations people are visitors to our country. And it appears that whether they're white fellas or black fellas brothers from other mothers, black fellas from other country, a lot of people don't get it. They don't understand that they are visitors, and all we ask for is recognition of being sovereign owners, being the original people.
That's right.
And that respect and understanding, the same as would be asked of us if we visited countries like Aotearoa, Tonga, Samoa, Papua New Guinea. If we visited those countries, we would be expected to come with respect
and
understanding of people and ownership, but maintain that position of being a visitor to that country.
Exactly.
Is that really where it's at here, you think? The underlying issue. If that was dealt with first up, other issues then need to be brought into it to be dealt with. But is it a priority to deal with that, you think?
Yes, it is a priority to deal with that issue at hand, of course, you know, and that's with the First Nation people. You know, you can't hold summits like this and only invite a handful of people that you seem to think that is something in the community, or you seem to think that they can do something in the community. At the end of the day, they've got all the wrong people sitting in there. I mean, let me say, for instance, that we had a member of the family come there yesterday to the summit and was disallowed into the summit because he didn't have an invite. This was a family member that was in Douglas Street. Yeah. I thought the summit was caused because of the incident that happened in Douglas Street. It might be called because of that, but they won't allow the families into it. I had to stand there and argue with them to allow them in yesterday.
Hmm. Now, you were heavily involved. You were identified as the spokesperson for the family at Douglas Street to deal with media, to deal with police. So you played a key role down there.
Oh, that's for sure.
You didn't get an invite.
No, not at all. I was even questioned about my invite yesterday.
When you fronted up to say, well, I'm coming in, I'm a local member of the community.
That's right. Yeah.
But you never had an invitation?
No.
So they questioned
right.
you?
Exactly. Questioned me. I said, well, I'm quite happy to leave if you want me to. Mm. But then I'll leave here, that's no problem. But then you're going to have to explain it to the community.
Yeah.
Yeah. By me saying that, they allowed me into the meeting.
So you're a bit disappointed, to say the least, in the way that people have been selected to attend.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Mm. It's only people that they think can do something around here. They're forgetting about the grassroots people. It's got to come back to the grassroots people. That's one thing I put up on the table yesterday, that it's got to come back to the grassroots people.
That's where the issues lie, isn't it? It's in the community. It's on the ground.
It's not up there. It's not up there. The issues ain't up there. Up there, what this is here, the summit is about, is how they can get funding for different things that they've always wanted in Logan. But they're using the incident that happened in Douglas Street to obtain
leverage that leverage
funding.
That. Yes, mm. yes.
And they're going to use these poor people until... I mean, these people don't even have a house to live in at the moment. Mm. Yeah? But they're quite good. The money that they use for the summit, I'm pretty sure they could have got these people a home to move into.
Yeah, mm. yep. Yes. And sure, there is a need for money here. I mean, I've looked at some figures to show the investment in Logan City, and there's very little. It's almost nil investment in the Logan City region, except for fuel stations that employ two or three people. So there's not much investment across the board in Logan City. And, I mean, that's what's needed. Community resources, community facilities, places for our young ones.
That's right.
To be able to attend and work out what they want to do to keep them occupied, the boredom and stuff. Do you think that's some of the issues with our young ones, that they don't have a place, they don't have places, they're not catered to properly? What are your thoughts?
I think that some of them issues are there, but also, you know, in saying that, like this government said yesterday, a lot of the stuff that happened with our children starts at home. They can blame it back at home, they can do whatever they want. You know, you can't say that a kid has run away from home from a good family. I mean, you see a lot of kids out there because they don't want that good family life and stuff like that. They want involvement like you were talking about. They want to be able to get out and mix with other children and stuff like that. If you keep them locked up at home, naturally they're going to run away. You know, it doesn't come from underprivileged families, bad families or anything like that. They come from all types of families.
Mm. Yeah?
There was a kid the other night that was on the news that ran away from a home in Salisbury. Yeah? They went missing. They had him on the news. He only just ran away because he wanted to be with friends and stuff. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But they found him again. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying, how kids just jump off the rail and go. And, I mean, they can blame disadvantaged parents or whatever.
Yeah.
Then it's nothing to do with the defect. It's what society brings to them and what society hasn't got for them.
Yes, yes. How are things since Timmy Briggs, who was... the resident of 16 Douglas Street, he's been relocated.
Yep.
There was a meeting of the Tongan family up the road and Briggs family and yourself. Myself was there. Since then, how have things been in the community?
Well, you can't say things have sort of forgotten. The only things that have been forgotten around here is the family that was involved in that. But as for an every night basis type thing, you still got these isolated occasions where this stuff is still happening. Still happening. And because these guys think that they're above the law, because the law allows them to do this, because of no arrest and no charges.
You're talking about young Pacific Island people?
Yes, yeah, that's for sure.
I saw on the news only a few nights back, there was, they looked like Pacific Island people. I think there were three or four.
RFA?
It was to do RFA. It was to do with this RFA on their T-shirts, big letters, RFA, ready for action. They explained to the camera what it was. There were some charges laid in relation to an assault on a police woman, in relation to Molotov cocktails being thrown around on the streets and things. That's a part of what happens out here, like that was here, Woodridge, Logan area?
Oh, that's for sure. That's exactly here in Logan. You know? And this is where the government say that there is no gangs in Logan. You know? There's no violence in Logan. There's no racism.
It's not a race issue.
And yet these guys that were running around with their shirts on were saying that, yet there's a lot of racism in. We're here to fight the racism in Logan. So somebody's getting confused here. It's either the people that are sitting at the top or the grassroots people. And they've got to bring it back to the grassroots people if they're going to find out what's going on around here.
Do you feel during that the clashes or that the clash in Douglas Street, I could see firsthand and felt that First Nations people were being, it felt by the establishment that they needed to control our people at the time. The police were very close to Timmy's house.
Yes.
As opposed to being four blocks away from the other house, the other
That's
family.
Right.
Yeah. The police were very much wanting to control the First Nations community here, and yet them other young fellows from the different Pacific Islands and that, they were driving around the cars taunting
That's right.
your mob.
Exactly.
They were left to wander around freely.
That's
my,
right.
My question here, Paul, is do you feel that there's too much focus or that they see that it's our community, First Nations people seem to be the problem, and that's got to be contained and controlled?
More or less, that's exactly what
the
it
charges
says.
That are laid have
that's
been
exactly.
laid.
I mean,
it was largely our people, your people in your community, charged initially.
That's exactly right. I mean, even while the stuff was going on, they decided to pull our boys out and start arresting them. You know? And even after it was all peace was made, and they decided to come back that morning and arrest again while his family was still trying to move. And stuff like that. So at the end of the day, they're only targeting our people. If I think the government feels if they get rid of our people, lessen our numbers of our people around this area, we can live in a good community. I think they've got to start from lessening other numbers around here because we're going to get stronger and stronger. Yeah. This, even if people start moving back to this community to make this community stronger and stronger.
It doesn't send a good message, Paul. It doesn't send a good message to the broader community that the establishment sees First Nations people as the problem.
That's right.
And it's like saying, oh, it's open slather, do what you like. We're not too fussed. We won't bother you.
That's exactly
right.
We'll
keep control of these blacks, but we won't bother you. It's like it's sending a message that it's okay to do what you like.
That's right.
Providing you blacks stay under control.
That's right. Or even if you can get the blacks out of this area for us. Yeah. It's like they're working with police.
You feel know? That's...
yeah. You can feel like they've got some sort of a relationship going. Yeah. When nothing's been done, nothing's been said. Yeah. And all they're doing, oh, they keep saying that they're looking at tapes. How long does it take to view a tape?
How long did it take to lay charges against the young fellow
that
actually attacked
they didn't need
Timmy
a tape
Briggs'
for that.
House?
They didn't need a tape for that.
They didn't need a tape for that because they got up and gave a public admission
That's right.
to what they did and how they did it. And it took almost a week after that before charges were laid.
That's right. Yeah.
But they were very quick to come down and grab First Nations people
exactly.
and charge them very
exactly.
quick, too quick.
I mean, they said there was only two or three arrested. No, there wasn't. There was five, six arrested. You know, there were the two young boys that were arrested earlier on that night down the road. And then we got the other boys the next day, and it was just getting all out of hand.
Yeah.
You know, you had one man standing there trying to control all these people, and all you got the police standing up there taunting these people. You got the islanders cruising around taunting these people. So my job at the end of the day was really, really hard, but I still got it under control. Yeah.
What would you like to see happen? What would you like to see happen? What should be taking place? You've got one situation here, like there's a big public summit and we're invite only, you know, people come in and attend and give their views. And you've got different organisations being represented there, like across the board.
Yep.
Whitefella support groups or organisations.
More or less, yeah, that's more or less what it is. It's I see a couple of our people's organisations in there. Oh, actually, I see one or two. Yeah, two. I see two of them in there, and that's about it.
So there's not big representation of all of our people there, right?
No, I don't see nobody from the grassroots as the reason why I walk in there, because I'm a grassroots man. So I've walked in there to find out what's going on. Yeah. And not once do you hear the mention of... Yeah. Oh, the only time you've heard the mention of Douglas Street is when they said this summit was called because of the incident that happened in Douglas Street. But then saying that, you don't hear nothing about what happened in Douglas Street.
Not really involving the people
That's right.
of Douglas Street.
That's exactly right. I mean, I had to have an argument yesterday to get one of the guys in from Douglas Street. Because he wasn't invited.
You were arguing with one of our own mob in the community.
That's right.
That happens to work for the government.
That's exactly right.
And that's a bit sad.
It is. It is. Especially when you get that member of the community. It's supposed to be something that's here for us to come out and tell these people that they're not allowed in the meeting. That's a bit how you're going when the summit is all about these people.
It's almost like them old days when we used to try and get into some of the clubs and pubs around town.
That's right.
In the valley.
That's
we'd
right.
come up against Pacific Island bouncers that would say, no, you black fellas are not allowed and you're not dressed right.
That's exactly right.
Here we've got one of our own fellas sitting here doing it now.
That's exactly right. Using their position. Abusing their position as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. No, it's very sad. It's very sad. How can people help? How can people assist? Or do you want people from outside to assist? Can people assist in any way?
Well, basically,
what's your view?
We really do need assistance out here. I mean, and if it's got to come from the outside, it's got to come because they're not doing nothing for us here. Yeah. We've got to look for outside resources and stuff like that because here we're stereotyped and that's it. We're put in that category and that's where we're going to stay, unfortunately. Like I keep saying, we've got to prove ourselves in this community first before we can move out of this community. And the Housing Mission will probably one day say, yeah, you work good with all these people around here. You can live out here now. And that's the way I feel like this suburb's all set up about. It's about going through a process of proving yourself to Australia first. Then you're allowed to move around the rest of Australia and type
Is that part of the problem, the relocation of people, like more people from different cultures, countries coming in? I mean, I had yarn with some Pacific Island families were saying, oh, we'd like our old Woodridge back when it was safe.
Yeah.
We grew up here. We've been here for 25 years. We've married into the Aboriginal families. We got Aboriginal grandkids. And that sort of connection. And they're saying, we'd like our old Woodridge back. Is it part because they also said it's these new ones coming in now? In the last 10 years, there's been a big growth in newer people coming and being settled, resettled, relocated here. Is that a part of the problem?
Yes, it is. It's a really big part of the problem. Like as soon as they get here, they put them in places like Woodridge, Inala, Riverview, Goodna, Zilmia, all around them places. You know, all the little low grade places is what they call them under government. You know, these are the little put them in the corner places. When you go to the other, you go to any of your rich suburbs and stuff like that, you won't see these people there. You won't see our people there. Yeah. That's because we haven't proven ourselves enough to be able to live there yet. I don't know how long it takes to prove yourself, but let's hope it ends soon.
Well, we've only been around for about 60,000 years. How much longer do they want? You know, when we ran this country not all that long
That's
ago.
Right.
We ran this country not all that long ago. Our women and children walked free of fear not all that long ago. We've proven ourselves time and time again.
That's right.
And even living in the living under white terms, living under the dominant culture situation, we've proven ourselves.
That's right. Government hurdles. That's what they are, government hurdles.
Paul, we might talk to... you've got a young daughter. She's making a name for herself as a young scholar and a young, smart young First Nations woman, Shakira Butterworth.
Yep.
She's in Year 12.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. And going quite well.
Yes, she is.
With her direction in life and what she wants to do with that?
From my point of view, she is. Everything that I see that she's doing today is really good with me.
You're a very proud, father.
That's right.
Yeah.
And my children thrive. You know, we've all been through the struggle. We've all been out there. We've done all the bad things that we've had to do in life. You know? But then we picked ourselves up and get back on that track and this is what we've got to do.
So there are good young ones, strong young ones coming through.
They're people. They're people, kids, you know what I mean? They think about their people all the time.
Mm.
Whenever they can feel like they can get up and talk on behalf of their people or get up and stand up and defend their people, like we are, defenders, not fighters, they will do that.
And they can articulate the situation.
That's for sure.
Their history, their experience.
Yes, yes. They've been around.
That's
My
what we need.
Kids have been there, done that.
That's what we need. Well, look, brother, thanks for coming in again. I really appreciate you giving us your time and talking.
No problem.
And the way you present and represent your mob. I mean, that's one of the things that's missing, or there's not enough of. Not enough of our mob, like yourself.
That's right, exactly.
That are prepared to step out.
Too many chiefs, not enough Indians.
Yeah, you know? Yes.
That's unfortunate. It's in a lot of races.
Yeah.
And that's only because we were taught that by that's the people who come to this land.
The dominant culture. Yes, the colonisers.
That's right.
All right, my brother. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to your young daughter, Shakira. We've also got Chris Tamoy. We've got Kyle Dagley. Three young Logan Woodridge youth. They're going to come over.
Okay. We've got thanks for that,
Paulie. Hey, thank you, Paulie. You have a good day, brother. Have a seat. What about this Michael? This Michael Wadigo. He might want to have a yarn too, yeah. No, he's standing at the door. Look, he's heading. He's bolting down the stairs. He's gone now. But he's a deadly dancer too, eh? He's Michael, you're a dancer. Yeah. Been travel the world.
Yep.
Yeah. You're not going to talk here, but...
No, I'm shy.
Hey, you're gammon shy. That's what.
Ear is still on there.
Very good. Now, it's good to see young fellas like Michael too that has travelled the world with dancing, traditional dance and stuff. That's young Michael Wadigo, another young local. But right now I've got Shakira Butterworth, I've got Chris Tamoy and Kyle Dagley. How are you guys?
Good.
All good?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah? You are?
Yeah, all right.
Very good. Shakira, tell us your mob, your country.
Same as my father, Berrigubba, North Queensland. And the South Sea Islands, Vanuatu.
And how old are you?
I'm 17 in August.
And what do you do? You're still at school?
Yep. Beanley.
Beanley? Yep. Year 12?
Yep.
I had someone, one of the elders, come past here and say, that Shakira's one of my star students at Beanley.
Yeah.
You enjoy school?
I do.
Yeah? What do you want to do with yourself after school, after year 12?
After year 12, I'm not sure, but long term I want to become a lawyer. But after school, I just want employment.
You want a job?
Yeah.
Yeah? But you do. You would like to do law at some stage, you think?
Yeah.
It's very good. Chris Tamoy, how are you?
Yeah, mate, feeling all right, I guess. I was pretty nervous, but feel all right.
Yeah, we just sit around having a chat.
Yeah.
There might be a couple of thousand people, like 50 or 60 out there listening, you know, but that's not many, really. What do you reckon?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all right.
And they reckon you performed pretty well yesterday here in that summit. You got up there with a guitar and showed them how to play a different style of playing the guitar and making some music and having some fun.
Yeah, it's a very unique style of playing. Guitar's played across my lap. I place the guitar on my lap and I play it like a piano. I don't play it holding it up upright and then strumming it. So it's a very unique.
Yeah. Where'd you learn that from? Did you see someone do it or you just decided to do it that way?
It's self-taught, but I was originally taught by my uncle, or cousin brother slash uncle. I was just very, fascinated with the way he was playing and just, yes.
So he was playing it and you decided to copy him?
Yeah, and I just picked it up and then, the stuff I can do now is practically stuff that I've taught myself.
Well done, lad. We're going to have to get you. And apparently people were impressed in there. You had cameras and they wanted to know your name and taking photos of you. Yeah,
I was kind of felt famous yesterday for a second. But, it was awesome as to get all the light.
You're becoming being the spotlight, you're becoming a bit of a media tart, it seems, eh? Or what?
Political. Yeah.
Now, you're a young man. How old are you?
Yeah, I'm 17 on Monday.
On Monday, really?
25th of February.
Well done. Yeah. And schooling, where are you at?
I'm currently studying at Woodridge State High School, just across the road. It's awesome.
And you're in year 12?
Yes, I'm in year 12 as well.
What are your plans when you leave year 12?
Well, I have a long-term goal and a short-term goal. My long-term goal is probably to try and reach NRL to become the first dark skin referee ever in history.
You do a bit of refereeing now?
Yeah.
Yes. And your short-term goal is?
My short-term goal is to hopefully become a flight attendant next year, working with one of the airlines, one of the three airlines we have, domestic, or to work in a hotel or a motel. That's my short-term goal. It's something that involves customer service and in the food and beverage area and hospitality industry.
All right. And we've got, did I ask you, tell me your mob, your country.
I'm a Torres Strait Islander young man. My mother is
Torres Strait?
My mother's from Bardu Island, from my grandmother's side. And for my granddad's side, which is my mother's father, he's from Dunlay Island. And for my father's side, he's from Boigo and Saibai Island, Torres Strait. So, but I mainly claim three islands that I'm from, which is Bardu, Boigo and Dunlay.
All right. A very strong young Torres Strait Island man by the sound of things.
Full blood. Yeah.
You're deadly. You're deadly. And Kyle Dagley. I know who he is. I just need to read my notes. Kyle, how are you, mate?
Good, yourself?
Good. I'm very well, mate. I'm glad. I'm happy to be out here in your community and talking to young fellas like yourselves. I think it's great.
It's pretty good, eh?
We don't do enough of it, mate. Us old fellas talking to young fellas, we don't do enough of it. We think we know everything. We don't need to talk to you. So it's good to be able to talk to you. Tell us your mob country.
Bundjalung country, with ties back to TSI and Murray Island.
Yeah. Right. How old are you?
I'm 18.
And you're out of school? Finished school?
Yeah, finished school last year.
Okay.
Out in the workforce.
Yeah, yep. You're in the workforce now?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I just work in Brisbane markets doing manual labour at the moment. Just having a gap year, getting some money.
Good on you, mate. It's good to have some money coming in, eh?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I reckon. I can certainly understand Shakira saying, I want to get a job first up. When I leave school, I want to get a job. Get some money. Tell me, Shakira, what are your thoughts with the summit, the discussion that's taken place at that level? What are the challenges you see for young First Nations people in this area? What are the challenges for some of the young Pacific Island people, young people generally?
The main issues are still racism, and even though it's not so obvious, it's the tension with walking around Logan that we can feel, and we know it's still there, and everything's settled down so far, but it depends on how long it's going to be again until society actually does something for us.
Mm. And that becomes violent.
Yep.
Like there are violent incidents that take place and have taken place for quite some time out here.
Yeah.
Mm. But then again, it's not the only violent place.
No.
Going to the valley and into the city on any Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, you see all them white boys bashing the crap out of each other while they're drunk.
Yeah.
So it's not just Woodridge Logan where violence and racism takes place.
Yeah.
What about a school? What's a school like? The school would be made up of a number of different cultural groups, people from different cultures, different races.
Yeah, well, we've mainly got Pacific Islanders and Polynesians at our school as well. But because I was concerned about going back to school, like considering how close it was to that incident. But well, I went back and it was all good because we all had our meetings together.
Okay.
And we sorted everything out.
Right.
So nothing started up
yet. So as young people in the area,
yep.
Yous are able to talk about things, especially school,
yep.
and work things out. So it's a more harmonious environment for you.
Yeah.
All. Yeah?
Yeah.
You're happy with that?
Yeah, because we're all friends with so many different nationalities and we all get along. Mm. But
we've got our families intermarrying and stuff as well, eh?
Yeah.
You'd know kids, and even in the NRL, you're talking about NRL, Chris, being a referee and stuff. Even in the NRL, we've got young Tongan and Samoan mixing with Murray and Torres Strait Island and all different kind, all together.
Yeah, and then I just think to myself, how would people like Willie Tonga, for instance, how would he react having both of those cultures, you know, in him, you know?
Mm.
Having his mum, an Aboriginal...
Mum's people and father's people.
Yeah, and father's people, you know.
In a conflict.
Yeah, so I don't know how they would feel.
Mm.
Yeah,
What do you think could happen? What would you like to see? How can things change so that as you grow older, you leave school, you just go into the workforce, as Kyle has, and that it be a better understanding, it be a more harmonious environment? You're able to walk around the streets and go shopping and do things without the threat of, or the fear, without fear?
I'm not going to try and make myself sound like a big guy, but you know, I know a lot of Pacific Islanders for the fact that I go to Woodridge State High School, which is the centre of, you know, where all of the tension is. There's no tension there, though, but where all the kids, like the relations of the people that were fighting at Douglas Street. They, like, I know practically all of them, and I feel safe walking around, but it's just some faces that I may not recognise. I do feel fear at times, but I keep strong though. Mm. I was just seeing a big mob of them, you know, or I should say a big crowd. I'll intend to, yeah, like go down a bit.
Steer clear.
Yeah, a bit worried.
Mm.
Mm. But no matter how much times, you know, we're gonna try and shake hands on it. You know, this is something that's occurred in the past. You know, Douglas Street incident wasn't just one thing that hit the media. You know, this has been going on from day one. You know, it's not just the incident on Douglas Street that occurred. And if we go right back to day one, to the first settlement of European people, you know, that's where fighting happened as well. Exactly. So
yes.
I don't see why we should be looked at as
that's a good point to make.
People, you know, and Douglas Street should be a main incident where a lot of fighting happened, because if we go back to day one where there was guns and spears and we were living back in the old days, I think that'd be a bit more vicious than today's society and what we have today.
That's a good point you make. Violence came with colonisation.
Yes, that's true.
It's not necessarily a part of our cultures.
That's true.
That's a good point you make. What would you like to see happen? Is there a need for, places in the community where you can spend your time, where young people can do things outside of school? I mean, or you're a rugby league referee. Are you kept busy with that? Are there other kids around? Are there other things that are needed?
Rugby league keeps me busy, but stuff that I reckon should be done. We have a community centre, which is down on Kingston Road, called the Yugambeh Centre. Maybe if we had a bit more Indigenous designs, workshops, games and stuff like that, you know, like more involvement, like stuff where Māori people could get involved. We currently have a group called the First Nations Youth Assembly, so we're working on some stuff, and then, like, I'm part of that. Shakira, Kyle and I, we're part of that, and that's run by Karina Hogan. So we've been having meetings and stuff in the last couple of weeks to see if anything, like, if we can, like, to share our, like, messages, to have our voices be heard, and then we'll go from there
and try and organise
organise stuff.
Yes.
For
that's
our people.
Sounds like a good start.
Yeah.
Certainly sounds like a good start. Kyle, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's always difficult when a lot of races come together. It's just like family. When we all come together, I mean, you fight with your family, you fight with different races. It's just bound to happen when so many are here together, all in one space.
There's always conflicting views and
always conflicting views. It's like when two elders come together and they don't see it eye to eye, they're going to argue. But at the end of the day, we're all one family, we're all one culture. Like, yes, there is racism here. There's racism everywhere you go, no matter where you go. I mean, overseas, in every part of Australia, every nook and cranny. But it's our ability to get along. And, I mean, here in Woodridge, Logan Central, whatever you want to call it, Logan City, we've got along for many years. There's selective incidents, yes, and there's tension, yes, but we get along at the end of the day. Like, I know these two here both have friends and even family that are, you know, of different culture and different origin. It's at a Pacific Island and, you know, Murray, we all get together, we all get along.
Mm.
It's like some of my best friends that I play footy with are all Islanders.
Mm.
I don't have a problem with them. It's just, you know, that 99% of us are perfectly fine. It's just that 1% that pushes it over the edge and gives us all a bad name. And, you know, here being the First Nations Youth Assembly, we're just trying to bring that cultural harmony back within our culture in Logan City, and giving us a voice and bringing basically Woodridge back to how it was, you know, where it's very respectful. I remember being able to just walk through here. I still walk through here, but it's just not the same as when 10 years ago. When I was a little kid, I had no fear walking through here at night, playing footy out on the field, nothing.
Mm. It'd be good to get back to that.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah.
Make it a safe place.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to see you guys with the First Nations Youth
Assembly.
Yeah. Organising. Shakira, anything you want to say about that one?
No, but it's a really good program and we hope to get more people involved in it.
What would you like to tell people about Woodridge yourself? Good place? Place or what?
Woodridge is a good place. It's just very few people make a bad name for it and they decide to discriminate on the whole race.
But you can change that, eh?
We're hoping to change it. So far, so good.
Yeah. All right, guys. Anything else you want to say in winding up?
We just hope to make a, you know, good and great impact on Woodridge for our Indigenous people. And, yeah, to just make an impact.
And you want more young people to get involved?
Yeah.
We have a Facebook group.
Yeah, we have a Facebook group. So just head on to Facebook, all the black followers out there, and just like the page.
Like the page.
Logan's First Nation Youth Assembly. I don't know what the profile picture is, but it's got a Murray flag.
Two flags.
So, yeah, just like the page, and we'll keep you updated with what's going on. Karina will do that. We'll just keep
you
updated.
We might be talking to you young people again on this program on the radio station.
Just looking at bringing that cultural identity back too.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what we want.
That's what our main goal is, I guess.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Look, thanks for giving me your time.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you in here.
Yep. Thanks, mate.
You just have a good day.
You too.
We'll do.
You too.
Keep up with our studies. And, Chris, you've got to find that guitar and come back in and play a song if you get a chance.
Okay, then.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Kyle, Chris and Shakira. Thanks a lot. It's real good to have you guys in. And there's three young people. Hey, positive, deadly young fellas, eh? From out there at Woodridge. Let's Talk is being broadcast from the car park of the Logan Entertainment Centre. And it happens to be right in Woodridge. And the summit. There is a summit out here to discuss issues in the community. And it's been organised by the Premier, Campbell Newman, and the Mayor, Lord Mayor of Logan, Pam Parker. And many, many people are attending, from all different walks of life, from community, from organisations and various places. Now I have two ladies, Ethel Reed is here. Well, your microphone, Ethel, is there. Right, Ethel, how are you?
Good, thank you. Good morning.
Tell us your mob, your country.
I'm a Noonaka woman from North Stradbroke Island.
And you've been a resident of the area for a while?
37 years.
37 years? You're just about a local then, eh?
Yes.
That's a long time.
Yes. In ground, I would say.
Yes. You've seen some changes over that time? Different people, mixes of different cultures and people coming in and living, settling, relocating?
Yes, that's right.
And Rhonda Reed, how are you?
Good morning, thank you.
Your mob and country?
Yes. Noonaka people, North Stradbroke Island.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how long have you been in the area?
37 years. When my father was very sick, he came to Woodridge. Got a beautiful house at 9 Edward Street.
So you went to school here, innit?
No, I didn't. I was just that little bit older. I went to school. I went to work.
Right.
I got to work first year. Mm. I was... Actually, I've been in Brisbane 40 years because I did, business school. And my first year of work was 1974. And right. I was a resident here since 1975, so that's going on 38 years. Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
You just attended the summit yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Yeah?
Yes.
How do you feel, the discussion, the way it's going, the way it was organised? Do you feel our people, your people, our people in the community, First Nations people, do you think they've been given the respect, the courtesy and invited and inclusive, I suppose, the word I'm looking for? How do you feel about the summit and the way it's organised and the way it's taken place yesterday?
Yesterday was very profitable as in knowledge Friday was a different story because I'm sure they didn't know what they were doing on Friday. I went away with the thought of, oh, Jesus, they need to pull their socks up and find out what's actually going on in Woodridge and what they should be doing. After yesterday's adventure, it was very profitable as in knowledge to the extent of what the government, the state government, and how they work. The information they gave us is how they work within the structures and
council.
Does
that benefit?
It will benefit the community, the wider community.
Mm. Rhonda, you attended yesterday?
Yes, I did. Yes.
What are your feelings?
Could have been more Aboriginal people here, Aboriginal Torres Strait Islanders, to have their say in the end result of the action plan, which we're doing today, to have their say. We're here mainly because education for our kids. Over the years, I've seen a lot of programs for Indigenous kids that have been abolished. Even although the funding is still there, it's going into mainstream school funding. Our kids are still missing out on a lot of things. That's why our kids are not in the high classes of... their education is very poor.
The action plan. What are some of the things that are being highlighted for an action plan? What do you think some of the actions are? What are the actions that have been highlighted that need to take place? Rhonda, can you recall any of the action plan?
Well, they were talking about... Sorry. They were talking about within the schools, more programs, but they need to... understand that more teacher aides should be in schools. They're the teacher aides are the ones that are on the ground and teaching one-on-one with the students when the teacher can't be available for that one student or several students. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing that they know about that now.
Mm.
I think they already knew it. I don't think they realise that there's a big demand for them. And there is. I'd like to see more teacher aides in schools.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right across the board.
Yes. What are some of the things that you hold as important to you and for young ones coming through? As I mentioned, education, yes. cultural identity and knowledge in that area, yes. And things. Like, what's important to you to strengthen, yes, our kids so that they can, I don't know, function out in the broader, yes, community as well as anybody, or better than most even? What's important to you?
They need a voice. The young ones need their own voice. To be heard.
Hmm.
I'd like to see more young ones. Actually, at the summit, there are very few youth here, and I would have liked to see a lot more. Plus, a lot more of the elders of all cultures, they're not here either. Yeah, and I would have liked to see more.
More of the older ones and more youth, more young,
yes,
ones.
Yes, yes. Hmm. There's only
of all cultures,
a handful of youth here, and there should be more.
Hmm.
All right. Of all ages.
What are your thoughts, Rhonda? What's important to you?
I think a cultural centre for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, so we can meet and also put programs together and talk about the future of our children, putting them into sports, education, anything they desire to do. We're not going to push them to do something they won't do, because that's not in my nature, but talk to them and just get the feeling what they want to do.
And create those opportunities and choices.
Yes, especially with employment. We do have a lot of problems here with transport. We've got a great rail system, the greatest rail system in Queensland, I'd say. The bus system is not so great. You can't catch a bus after 7 o'clock or 7:30 at night. And a lot of people, they live in places like Marsden. Well, there's no bus transport out that way after 7. You know, people just don't go anywhere unless you've got a car. And a lot of our people don't have cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And other cultures, I mean, it should be a positive that there are many different cultures and people in this area. It could be some fantastic festivals, the music, the dance, the food, all that sort of thing. Is there much of that happening where people from any culture, all cultures feel included?
There are a lot of festivals, but sometimes you find out too late. They do include Aboriginal people to do welcome to country or acknowledgement to country, but you find out too late because, you know, by the time you get down there at 2 o'clock, it's nearly finished. Yes.
So there's a bit better promotion and stuff.
Yeah, better promotion throughout the wider community of Logan, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What are your thoughts, Ethel?
Well, there was actually one down at Guild Adams Park over the weekend, but it wasn't advertised to the extent of letting everyone know, and everyone should have known, you know. And most people I spoke to, I didn't even hear about Darnie. And I said, well, you need to go. And they did. Most of the ones I spoke to did go, which was really good.
Yeah.
But they still needed that exposure.
Yeah.
It was only a word of mouth, which is a good thing, but we need a little bit more help.
All right. Anything else you want to say in winding up?
I hope the two-year plan that the council is hoping to do is a successful one. But we're going to still push the cultural diversity of it out there for our people.
It's a big positive, the cultural diversity aspect of this area. It's a big positive, and it could be so much stronger and more harmonious.
And we're here to also push for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders to be on in residence on the council or in schools, because they're only picking, you know, a few elders to do that, and they're burning them out.
You're right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, ladies, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you here.
Oh, thank you very much, Tiger, for the opportunity.
Oh, it's good to be out here in your community. It's great, and thank you for giving us your time.
Thank you very much.
And let us know if there's anything we can do to help promote things as well, talk things up. You let us know.
We will.
Because there are waves we'll reach out here. You turn the radio on, we'll get you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ethel and Rhonda Reed.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you here. We're broadcasting Let's Talk from the car park of the Logan Entertainment Centre, where there is a two-day summit. Today's the second day of the summit. And we're talking about issues at Logan. I've got Greg Barlow joining me. Greg has been in the studio before with Paul Butterworth. Greg, how are you, brother?
You're all right.
Tell us your mob, your country.
From the Yidinji tribe up in North Queensland.
You've been a resident of the area here for a while?
Yeah, for about 12, nearly 14 years now.
Okay, yeah. The last time we spoke, you were, well, at the time we spoke and when I first met you was you were at Douglas Street when the flare-up was down there. There was a violent flare-up down there. Since then, you've found yourself homeless.
Yep.
Have things improved any? Have you been able to get any support, assistance, finding a home?
Not yet.
Yeah. What do you think of the summit? How'd that go? You tried to get in yesterday, but you didn't have an invitation, Greg.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I was told to come in yesterday because I was invited, like Paul Butterworth said, the Barlow family was invited because we was 11 people that was in the house in Douglas Street. When I got there, Wally Tallis came out and said that I wasn't invited. Yeah, so
you weren't able to get in?
Not until later on. Stage. Yeah, at that stage I wasn't.
But Paul Butterworth heard about it and
he came out. Yeah.
With the proceedings of the summit, you sat in that for some time yesterday?
Yeah, I sat in for the afternoon session.
What are your thoughts? As things panned out during the course of the day with the summit, how'd you feel sitting there listening to the proceedings, whatever?
Yeah, there were some good ideas that come out of it.
Hmm.
But is it all going to get solved, or the government, are they going to actually act on their ideas and stuff like that?
There's an action plan being put together? Some talk about it?
There are some talks about it.
Hmm. Are you going to go back in and sit in today?
Yes.
Hmm. What do you think is missing at the summit, just from your observations yesterday? What do you think is missing? How could it be done better?
There's a few things missing. Like, they could at least bring some of the youth in and let them have a say. Like, the table I was sitting at yesterday, I had my nephew sitting there with me, and they brought up about the youth, and I told them to ask my nephew because he was a young person, and they asked him, and he came up with some good ideas.
So they need to encourage, make space for and encourage these young people.
Yes.
For their ideas.
Yes.
Yeah.
If they want to hear from the young people, they should get out to the streets and ask them.
Talk to them.
Yeah, talk to them.
Mm. Mm. What do you want to see happen?
I want to see the community come together as one.
That's together. Everybody.
Yeah, everyone. Mm. Every race.
Yeah, yeah. Because it could be a really strong, powerful, positive aspect of the diversity of cultures here.
Yes. Like the table I was sitting at, we had a Polynesian that day, and he came up with some really good ideas, like having a carnival or
festivals and things.
Yeah, and then even doing some cooking, like do the cut Murray's, hungies, and see which one's the best, have a competition or something.
Mm. All right. Yes, now, what's missing for the young ones here? What do you think could be created for young ones? Do they have places to go? One of the young fellows is a referee, young Christy Tamoy, that spends a bit of time with rugby league and things. And there is sports opportunities in that area, but there are some of us that don't want to be into sports and things.
Yeah, there's
the young ones are being catered to. What needs to be done for them?
Like I said, they need to get out and speak to the young people. Ask them for ideas, see what they want to do. Because like we spoke about it last night after the summit, and there's a lot of things you can be done.
Like, any ideas on what might be able to be done for them?
I need a big piece of ground and a hall, like a big community centre, so they can go and do drawings or dance, have a dance group. It's not only just about sports or anything like that.
The youth summit, these young fellas were in here earlier. I don't know whether you saw them, Shakira Butterworth, Kyle Dagley, Chris Tamoy. They're part of the Logan Youth Summit, First Nations Youth Summit. That's sort of a forum where they're coming together, they're recognised as youth, they're valued. That sort of thing can be a good thing, you think?
Yeah, that would.
Where they're talking and coming up with their own ideas?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like they've been to the summit, so they should be encouraged to go out and talk to the other young people and invite them.
Hmm. All right, Paul. Look, thanks for coming in and joining us, mate. We really appreciate you giving us your time, eh? Good to catch up with you again.
Yep, no worries.
You take it easy and hope all goes well, man.
Yep.
Bye, brother.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you. And that was Paul. I said Paul, it's Greg Barlow. I'm not talking to Paul Butterworth at all. He's done his time in here. Greg Barlow. Sorry, Greg. Right, getting you mixed up there. I've now got a quick 2 minutes with Karina Hogan. Now, I know a mob with Wadigo mob. Wadigo family. Tell us your mob, your country, Karina.
Bundjalung woman from with ties to the Torres Strait and to South Sea Island.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lived in Woodridge for 27 years.
I was going to say, you've lived around here. You grew up here.
Yeah, I did. I grew up just down the road. Mm. It's great. I love Woodridge. I love the fact that I'm from here. Yeah.
Great place.
It's a great place.
Mm.
Wonderful. Mm. Yeah.
These young ones that were involved in here earlier, you've been helping them, working with them, the Youth Summit, Logan First Nations Youth Summit?
Yeah, I think myself and Raymond back at work wanted to get something together for the young fellas to have a voice and to have a space to be able to talk about things that are important to them. You know, when all this stuff happened on Douglas Street, we heard very little from the young fellas, from the people who were actually involved in the issues that were taking place. And the fact of the matter is, as you heard, Tiger, these fellas are actually really smart, intelligent, aspiring.
Got
fantastic. Oh, heaps. So much. And we're always put on the deficit.
Yes.
Not just Aboriginal people but and Torres Strait Islander people, but young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, always put on the deficit. So this is about looking at it from a positive standpoint and saying we've got a lot to offer, and we would like to be able to contribute to discussions that are going to, essentially, they're going to affect us in the long run.
And other young ones that want to get involved or make contact with you, you've got a Facebook site or something?
We do. We have the First Nations Youth Assembly, or you can directly contact me at karina.hogan@iuih.org.au, or you can phone in to IUIH, which I don't know what their number is, but if you Google it, and young fellas are good at Google.
IUIH is the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health.
Yeah, that's correct. They've given us a little bit of support in this process, which has been fantastic, along with elders within the community.
It's time for us to go. Thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate your time.
Yes.
Have a great day. I'm back tomorrow with Let's Talk. Make sure you join us on 98.9 FM.